Roll the intro. Hey everybody, how you doing? I'm HexDSL. Welcome to Trendy Talk, the most trendy of conversations that you'll like to see in the next hour and the 10 minutes, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? Who knows how this works? So I'm joined here, as always, by my stalwart co-host, Wingapotamus Von Wingwing. Say hello, Wingapotamus Von Wingwing.
Still co-host? Am I being replaced?
Yes. As soon as ChatGPT gets a voice, you're gone.
I mean, Microsoft did make that thing.
Yeah, it would be... You know what? Well, as soon as I can get a legit AI co-host, that would be dope. We could just have three of us on here. You, me, and a pointless co-host that says nothing useful. So just three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just three of us saying nothing useful ever. This would be great. So Wing, how it's been? It's been a hot minute since we've done a trendy. How you been?
Has it? I don't know. Let's see. When was it? It was.
It's
fuck
a hot
me.
Minute.
It was a month. It was a month ago. It was February 17th, and it's now March 16th.
Oh,
fucking.
That was almost on purpose.
On the button.
That was almost
on purpose. Right.
Almost, yeah.
Oh,
I've moved my camera position.
Forget to update the bloody chat to live chat because
oh shit, live chat, yeah.
Stupid. Hello,
YouTube,
Bonfire YouTube. Scalded, whoever you
Bonfire
are.
Bonfire Scalded, I'll scold you.
That's on YouTube, but it looks like one of the auto-generated Uncast names.
I'd like to think that people are generating names on Uncast and taking them with them to YouTube. That's what I like to believe.
I mean, yeah. Oh, it's me.
Hey!
Right.
Right, so come on, let's get into it, Wing. We want to get in and get out so we can watch Star Wars.
Says you.
Yeah.
let's jump through some stuff. Yeah, oh, right. The first link was just something I wanted to point out.
Okay,
that,
I did click
watch.
It.
Yeah, but you shouldn't click it, probably.
Why?
I mean, it's on YouTube, but fuck, if I know it's a whole movie. Netflix put Nimona on YouTube. There was a movie I talked about a few months ago. It's pretty good. But they put it on YouTube because it was nominated for an Oscar, I guess. So.
Well, I did click that and it didn't go anywhere.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, did they take it down? Mm-hmm. Oh, they took it down, the bastards.
So that was good news.
I should have checked that beforehand. I guess they only put it up on YouTube for the Oscar thing. That's lame. Should have left it up. This is a private video. Please sign in so you might see it. Lies.
I wonder if you signed in with your Netflix account.
If your Netflix was linked to Google? I don't know. Well, that's annoying. That's stupid. Fucking dumbass Netflix. If you put shit up on YouTube, you should just leave it there.
I mean, I agree.
Whatever. Oh, I forgot what this...
it's
been so long since I've been on this list.
Right? It's also available on Pirate Bay.
I don't know what that website is.
What website? GitHub's malware problem. GitHub's malware problem.
Apparently. I've honestly forgot this article was here and I'm just having a quick look through. I mean, I feel like what was the point of this article?
Podcast.
Yeah, see this is what happens when you go a month. And you've been building up. The rest of it, I believe, is fine. I don't know what the point of that article was. I assume GitHub's always had a bit of a malware problem,
dear
right?
Dear Trendy Talk viewers, what you need to do for us is read this article, and then in the comments below the video when it goes live on YouTube, write in there why we put it in the show notes and explain it to us. And then we'll read it. We'll be like, good content or bad content, and then you'll know. Italy's pirate shield is bollocks.
Okay, I believe, right. I just had a quick look over. It was about there seemed to be an automated many people running automated stuff over GitHub and forking popular repos and posing as them but injecting them with malware. It's kind of surprising they didn't have that problem like all the time.
Yeah.
But they just seem to be having a hard time keeping up with it. So, you know, watch out, I guess.
Yeah, it's Microsoft, fuck them.
Yeah, the Italy Piracy Shield. There's actually several other articles linked in this that you should read, because this thing's been going on a while. But the gist of it is Italy set up this Piracy Shield thing, which is like an automated block list that it's managed by some central thing, and they basically send out block lists to all of the ISPs, and they have to comply with that and block them on the ISP level.
I mean, VPNs exist.
Yeah, but the reason I brought this up mostly was because it seems to be a complete and utter shit show. From the get go, they were all like, this is 100% perfect technology, can't go wrong, and I believe to this day they still maintain that they've never blocked anything that shouldn't have been, even though this article will point out is patently untrue, because I believe they actually blocked Cloudflare at one point and half the internet couldn't fucking work. But they basically just refuse to say they've done anything wrong every time they do it. And there's some anonymous reporting from people working in the various ISPs that are saying, like, yeah, we have to purposefully not comply with some of these, or it just doesn't work. There's so much. There's like five articles on Turn Freak about this.
What bothers ridiculous. Me is governments are only ever going to use these things to block fake news being anything they don't like, which is always going to be the problem. It's always going to turn into censorship eventually.
I mean, right at the top of the article, you can see that when asked about this, they literally called it fake news.
And then blocked it.
Yeah, poor Italy.
VPN sales have increased in Italy by 500%.
I do keep seeing people say, you know, it must be a great time to have stock in a VPN company. Because you've got this bollocks. In America, all the states seem to be trying to block Pornhub.
Mm-hmm.
And at least one that I've read of recently has gone ahead and done that. And Texas. It's like, yeah, and several others are threatening it, and they just went, okay, fine, I'm just blocked people from Texas themselves, I believe, so, yeah.
That whole thing is not something I'm going to comment on. It's just silly. At this point, it's just silly. All that's going to do is mean that Pornhub, who is a more reputable company in that field of business than others, is going to go out of business, and then less reputable businesses is going to get in business, and then more people will be at risk of crime. So I'm not sure that what I mean, think of that.
I wonder does the Pornhub people have stock in a VPN company?
They've owned a VPN. You can get a Pornhub VPN. That's a thing already.
Is it? Okay, well, yeah, there you go.
I just had a pop-up that said my time machine had been disconnected and then it went away. Am I travelling in time right now? Did time stop?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I know why. Speaking of VPNs, I'm running through a VPN right now by accident.
Ah, well, that's probably not great for the old connection.
I'm not going to turn that off while we're doing the stream, because that's going to interrupt the stream, I assume. So, who knows? It seems to be green. All the numbers are green. It seems to be fine still. I'll just call it done. I'm fine.
It's fine. It's fine. I don't know. Don't worry about it.
It's in my top bar. Sometimes I click my coffee cup that stops my computer going to sleep and the VPN starts, and I just don't notice. Stream is a little pixely. I mean,
There's
a little coffee cup picture on the little coffee cup icon on the top bar that stops the computer going to sleep, and it's next to the VPN button.
I mean, the stream being a little pixely is probably fine. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Anyway. Also, like, the VPN shouldn't actually create pixelization. It just reduces, it just increases lag, so you might get the odd drop frame, but it seems to, it's according to the OBS, it's fine.
Yeah. Anyway. Moving on.
Who knows? Moving Avast. On. Next item topic. Avast, ye hearties.
Avast, the, what are the, antivirus slash that whole
they're
crap.
They're criminal. Company. All virus companies are criminals.
Virus companies, definitely. Antivirus companies.
All virus companies. If your business involves viruses, your best business practice should be to make viruses only your software can detect. There's no point. Just don't trust them.
Mm.
I mean, want a virus killer on my computer.
Yeah, so? They're basically only required on Windows. And even at that, you should only use Windows Defender.
My Windows Defender will block pirated Windows software, though. So that's a problem, obviously.
No, I don't think we know any pirates.
No, we don't know any pirates. FTC order will ban Avast from selling browsing data for advertising purposes and requires it to pay $16 million over charges.
I mean, there's no way they haven't made more than that. Yeah, they're selling a piece of software that they're advertising as protecting your privacy while selling the data they've gathered with the program.
My theory that all antivirus companies are criminals turns out to be true.
Yes. 100%. Avast was always shit. It was always one of the worst ones. Oh, I know they all are. But Norton was always like the top of the fucking. I think Avast was the one people used on purpose a lot. But I've always found all of them shit. Even prior to what you call it, Microsoft Defender, but the best antiviruses on Windows was just an ad blocker.
The best antivirus on Windows was checking the comments on the things you download. Like, to be honest. The fact that you can get viruses injected by adverts and the government say ad blocker's bad is confusing at best.
Have any government said ad blockers are bad yet?
Yeah, America said ad blockers. America says that ad blockers is hacking. Was it they're the ones that said that? But also the FBI says that everyone should use an ad blocker and a VPN when they're on the internet. So they're kind of like stuck in the middle.
I don't remember them saying anything about ad blocking. I remember the hacking thing was when someone looked at the source code.
Yeah, you're right.
Or source code, sorry. The source of the website, the HTML. That was funny. It was funny in, oh God, these are the people in charge where...
Yeah.
You can hack by pressing Control U.
Tell me about Yuzu.
I just linked the first article I found on my feed about this because there's just been so many. Yuzu is a Switch emulator that I hear works very well, but Nintendo filed a lawsuit against them, and after about a week they just went, yeah, fine, whatever, we'll just pay you, and shut down everything.
Look, this is gaming on Linux, right? And I'm trying to make bigger, and it's not made bigger.
Zoom works for me?
I don't know what's happening. Am I going to have to leave my mouse like an animal? Uh-oh.
It's gaming on Linux, not gaming on Mac.
What? Why can't I make this website bigger? View.
Do you have a manual zoom button?
I don't know. I've only ever pinch zoomed. I'm on a Mac. I don't learn things. Wait, what?
That's a lie. You know more than most Mac users after a week.
I got it. I'm zoomed in. There you go. You can do it. Carry on.
Okay.
That are you gonna lie? Because I know how to use a computer properly.
I know. HexDSL, number one Mac YouTuber.
Not lately, but carry on.
Yeah, but because they did actually have this they were actually set up as a company, as an LLC. I don't think any of the individual people have actually been affected that much that were actually behind Yuzu. But I think the general consensus is they just played it silly by you know pointing out exactly how to do everything that you shouldn't do when you're running an emulator. Which seems to be the crux of the Nintendo lawsuit, was all the documentation on how to do things. But, you know, it's heavily speculated. It was also because of the sheer amount of money they were pulling in on Patreon, which was up and, like, at the height of the Patreon was at, like, 40 grand a month. So, I'm not sure if they made 2.4 million, but they were certainly pulling it in. Also, I mean, like, doing all that and documenting how to do certain things was silly. It was silly. When you're like, no other emulator does this for good reason. They just go, use your own games that you have already. Wink. So I think that was just silliness on their part. But that aside, Nintendo is just assholes anyway. And it does seem to be mostly been driven by the fact that, you know, back when that last Zelda game came out, everyone was playing it on Yuzu before the Switch. But I still don't think that's on Yuzu. It didn't actually work on Yuzu. It had to be patched. It was patched by people outside of the Yuzu team to get it working at the time. But it's not Yuzu's fault that Zelda was leaked a week early. That's on Nintendo.
Nintendo won't see it like that. They'll say it's loss of earnings because it doesn't matter if it was leaked. It shouldn't have been playable because it's just a data file without the emulator. That's what they'll say. Also, my note, no link went through. Don't know what that's about.
Yes. So Manny Forks happened, and Suyu is just the current one, which I love the name of. They have specifically said they've gone out of the way to avoid all the things Yuzu did, but it is just Yuzu. It's fine.
I wonder if it's just the same people and they've just double dipped this whole time.
I mean, entirely possible. However, Yuzu has specifically said that they're never asking for donations. Or Suyu, sorry, has specifically said they have no donation page. They said they're not going to put one up. They're just working on it because they want one. Allegedly.
Which is the right way to make something like that.
I mean, that's how all emulators generally work, right? Although I didn't actually know that the Yuzu people made the Citra emulator as well, so that's also been taken down. And Citra was a 3DS emulator. Yep. Hex's official Game Boy.
It says Game Boy Advance in the back. It says Game Boy Color on the back, so it must be official.
Yep. Entirely possible.
I love this. They use this thing so much. Like, just today, I was playing a game from the past which I own and copied the ROM from my extensive collection to, and I had a thoroughly nice time.
I will never miss a chance to call Nintendo dickheads, but, like, you know.
I've got...
This whole thing was just stupid.
Have I showed you my Zelda emulator?
That's actually an official thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like, if I turn the light off,
you can see this. It's got to load the Dark Triforce. Nice. I mean, I guarantee you that's running a fucking ROM they pulled off the internet, because they've done that several times before.
I do love this thing.
Nintendo has been caught doing that many times. It's
like,
ridiculous.
Legally speaking, they own it, so that's fine, right? Like, legally.
Yeah. But
they
still
can download it, use it in their own console, then sue you for having it.
Yep, probably.
Yeah.
But like, Nintendo. I can never understand how you can ever go after it. Like, I know Yuzu was like towing the line a lot, but like, you can 100% buy a physical Nintendo game and use it on Yuzu. You just get a card reader thing as, like, That works. I'm not sure where the problem comes out of. It always just seems to be some bollocks.
I have essentially nothing nice to say about Nintendo. But also the Yuzu was being assholes. There was like piss up the wall and shouting, "Come get me."
Yeah,
Mean,
so
yeah.
it's a bit,
So
50-50.
don't
I know
feel bad for
everyone was
them,
every
but
there was a lot of worry about this case ending up affecting other emulators, but I'm not sure it really can because no one else is this was as brazen as Yuzu was. I mean, the fact
although
that they even set up an LLC to run it, kind of, they knew what was coming.
I've got to say though, like the one thing I took away from this was, oh, it works on Switch. It's the one thing I took away from it. I was like, oh, I can play on my Switch.
I mean,
Well, yeah.
I do also think that it's like I know hardware power and that is it's like it doesn't really matter, but it's like when you release a console that even at the time was massively underpowered compared to the other ones, it was going to get emulated very quickly
Yep,
because it does,
absolutely.
it doesn't take much to run. I do think that's part, also probably partly what caused it as well, is because of the current gen console being emulated, which only really happens with Nintendo stuff. Because,
They're under parrot.
well, I mean, also, generally speaking, if something's on the PlayStation or Xbox, it's usually on PC as well. Like, they don't have a whole lot of exclusives. And even less so now than ever before. So I'm not
Yeah,
sure. I'm actually sure there's any point of emulating an Xbox or a PlayStation, to be
to
honest.
be honest, Leonie, like I lost it. Like emulators are fun up until it gets to the mid-90s, like the mid to late 90s. As soon as you get to PlayStation, like emulators stop being retro and fun. You're just playing an old game, and it's not the same. He's like, rather than playing a fun retro piece of the past, you're just playing something that's a bit old. Yeah.
I don't know.
Give it 10 years, and you'll
Depends
feel
on your time
differently.
frame, I guess.
It depends on how
I
fucking
mean,
old you are.
I've recently replayed some PS2 games, and I still genuinely physically own them.
You do,
Yeah,
we
there you go.
watch. Oh, can I talk about a game first? Can I talk about
Oh,
two
yes. Yeah, I
games?
mean, you didn't have it on the list, but
I
go on.
don't. I don't have.
You
I'm
can add
gonna
it
have to.
later.
I'm gonna. Go, I'm not gonna add it later.
I'll add it later. What are the?
I've been playing this game on Apple Arcade called Beast, right?
Oh, right.
Which
Yes.
is Bio X. I've grown. Oh my God! What was it called? What was it? Apple Arcade Beast game. Okay, there's this game where you get to be animals, right? And you get to run around in third person. I literally can't find the game because it's such a generic name. I know how to get the game up, but I don't want to mess with my desktop thing. Anyway, actually, can I just download Apple
I
Arcade from
can
the
you
Play
not
Store?
search the Apple Arcade on the web? Because I'm just
No.
there is
No.
holy balls, I hate this website. Apple keeps
Bio
all fucking
X.
so many of Apple's pages are this thing where they just fuck with your scroll. I despise websites to fuck with your scroll.
Bio Arena. Okay. Bio Exo Arena Suit Team, right? This game is shit in many ways. Okay, there's a screenshot of it that'll do you, right? This game is awful in many ways. It is a game where you have your walk around button and your aim button as in normal first but third person controls. It auto fires, right? Or it can auto fire. You can turn it off if you want. And then you have to basically, it's team deathmatch or it's payload or it's this like capture the flag thing that we do with crystals. And this should be bad, but I have played the shit out of this game over the last like 2 weeks. I've been playing it like non-stop. And it's cool because if you are an Apple wanker, which I am, you can go from your tablet. I can play it on my iPad, on my phone, and on my desktop, and it's the same save game. It's unified. So it's been really fun. I've had a really good time playing it. It's very silly and very quick, and the rounds are about 3 minutes long each. And you just go in, kill some stuff, and then that's it, and you unlock stuff as you go. it's like a microcosm of what people like about shooters. And weirdly, I really recommend it. And if it's on Apple Arcade, so if you're an Apple wanker like me, you've probably got Apple Arcade and you can just play it for free. And I would highly recommend it. I've been really enjoying it these last week, and it's one of those games that's far more than a sum of its parts. Like, it's charming, it's chunky, it's easy to play, the rounds are just the right length, and yeah, I've been playing an awful lot of it and having a great time, so highly recommend. I know you guys have
So,
watched me play it and been like, what are you doing?
that was fine. I'm the name really just
Well,
looks
that's
like
awful.
they stuck it into a back random generator, right?
Oh yeah, like I couldn't even remember the name to Google it. They
Well,
just
I'm
really
just on the
wanted it to be a
website. I'm like,
beast.
so the mechs are called beasts, but the T stands for team.
Yeah.
So the mech is a team on its
Yeah,
own?
you
Okay.
and the mech are a team. You and the mech. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but it says okay,
Yeah,
whatever.
no, I'm not
Also,
defending it. It's a
I
terrible
like
idea.
in the character thing. There's this guy called Clyde, and it says he's a former space smuggler. How does one smuggle space?
Well, what he does is he puts in a box.
Oh, that
He
makes
smuggles
sense.
spacious boxes.
He's got that box from Futurama that contains the universe.
Maybe that's it. But no, the premise—it's entirely horseshit premise. What it is a cute animal-themed shoot, like third-person shooter that's easy to play. And depending
Yeah,
on
that's fine.
what
I
I'm
assume the non-Apple Arcade version of this is absolutely filled to the brim with microtransactions, so just get Apple Arcade.
Oh yeah, I've not played it outside of Apple Arcade because why the fuck would I? But yeah, no, I just play and play and play and play, and it's great. And I just sit there just re-queuing or like all the way through a movie or something.
I do think the Apple Ar the Apple Arcade when they launched that and required that stuff has no microtransactions, that's like one of the best decisions Apple have ever made.
I know, and I know that it's you have to be a specific type of game or you have to like a specific type of game. But I really get my £4 a month subscription money at the Apple Arcade. I love the Apple Arcade. It's a little bit like people say with Game Pass. You get a constant treadmill of just like stuff to play arriving in your inbox. It's the same thing, but it's stuff that's really casual, and I really like those just casual jump in jump. I can really get into a casual game, which sounds like a weird thing to say, but I've had there's been a lot of them where I've just really had a good time with them. They're always charming, they're always easy to pick up, and they're always very low stakes. So I get invested to the point where I'm enjoying it, but it's not invested enough that it consumes and stops me doing other things as well. So I'm a big fan of the Apple Arcade. It's a good system. If you've got kids and they've got iPhones, you can get the Apple Arcade and share your subscription with them. So like me and my daughter have like a shared Apple Arcade subscription.
Oh, and it's still just 4 quid.
Just £4, yeah, because you get the
Oh, that's good.
arcade TV. And news is all shared subscriptions. You only need the family package to share music. So yeah, music's not shared. Yeah, I suppose music's more expensive to maintain, right, than games and stuff. So yeah, it's
Well, that
good.
has a lot more licensing bollocks involved.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's more expensive to maintain because they have to pay 10,000 people different things. But yeah, I do like Apple Music, where I can't share my sub. My daughter gets Spotify anyway, so it's fine. Yeah, highly recommend
What
anyway.
was your
And
second
my
game?
second game is Gunhead on Steam.
Ah, yes.
Gunhead Steam. Gunhead on Steam. I was talking about with Wing last night because I wasn't. I was vaguely where it came out, but then hadn't played it. I was looking because it's the sequel. It's the unofficial sequel to Cryptarch, which is a top, which is a
Is it
side
an unofficial
scroller.
sequel? That's
I mean, it's not technically a sequel, but it's by the same developers. And it's
I
basically
mean,
the
the
same
description
game
says
in
sequel to Cryptarch.
oh, is it literally they literally officially saying, see, oh yeah, they are sequel to, okay,
No,
cool.
it says it right there.
I didn't realize I was calling it a sequel. But yeah,
All right.
it's literally take Cryptarch. If you've played Cryptarch, it's a 2D shooter in space where you have to go into a spaceship, disable systems using guns, fight bad guys using guns, and then get loot. So you're basically going in, doing a heist, and getting out, and that can be as quiet or as loud as you want it to be, which is what's interesting about it. But every time you fire the gun, you're spending money because you have to replenish your exosuit. So there's an economy to worry about as well. So you can do amazing on the mission, but you've just burnt through all your ammo and it's not worth it. Or you can equip no ammo and just find things on the way. So
That
take that.
quite similar to Armored Core.
Yeah, I mean that's why it's a mech. It's got that theme going on, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So it's the first person equivalent of that. So each mission is essentially a new map that's randomly generated, but it doesn't. I don't mind it's randomly generated. It's supposed to be an alien spaceship that makes no sense to you, and you're going to steal technology on derelicts, basically, that like ships that have been half battered in wars and stuff. And the alien ships have sort of got like mad AI things going on. And yeah, it's just the game I liked, like in first person. We was talking about it yesterday, and I was like, I'm definitely going to pick this up. And then friend of the show, Arch Toasty, then gifted me on Steam this morning, so I woke up to a copy of it in my inbox, which was pretty great. I've installed it on my Steam Deck, and I've played about, 40 minutes of it, and I want to get more of it, but I had stuff to do today, but I really, really enjoyed what I played. It's exactly what I wanted. It's just a game I liked in 2D, now in first person. It's real good.
Yeah.
You should play it. And it's currently £8.37 on Steam, and is mostly positive.
And I have added both of those games.
Yay, because I'm too lazy.
Well, if I didn't do it now, I'd forget. So there they are.
If you didn't do it, I was never going to. Yeah, look at that. Yeah, it's already there. Look, it's already there. And if you want to see the Trendy Talk notes, you can go to trendy.hexdsl.com. That's trendy.hexdsl.com. And after the show is finished, it will be available as the newest version of the show that's on the website. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
In the business. Trendy. Movies?
So, I have a game too. I got Neo 2. Well, right, Hex gave me Neo 2. It was in one of them humble bubbles.
I didn't want it.
Yeah.
This game has an age check, so if you're under 18, please turn off the stream.
Does it? I didn't get an age. Oh, I did. Okay. Do you know what I did? I did it while you were saying it, and I was like, I think I've just gone blind to age checks.
Yeah, me too.
I've never
won it, so I was like,
I've never played the first Neo, I'm not sure how related they are, but they don't. Believe this is actually this might be. I think it's a prequel to the first one. I'm not entirely sure.
I know nothing, nothing about it other than it's Dark Souls adjacent.
It is a Souls-like set in what period?
In fantasy Japan.
The Sengoku period, based fantasy Japan, yes. Where you are some kind of half-dead person. So that means you get to be that means you get ghost powers. I don't know. I'm 5-ish hours into it. I've only done 3 main missions, so I'm not actually very sure what the story is, other than it opens up with you getting stabbed, and then you wake up and ghost powers, I don't know. They keep calling you a yokai, which is like a Japanese.
I played Yokai Watch.
Thing. Yes, you did.
I love Yokai Watch.
But you just go around killing other yokai, so but they're evil, I guess. But it's super fun. It's much faster than you a regular the standard Souls games. Stuff. Yeah, from software stuff. It's much faster than that. It's Probably something more akin to Sekiro speed, which is quite fast. Slightly slower than Sekiro, faster than Elden Ring. Which is a comparison that makes no sense to anyone who's ever played any of those games, but it has skill trees out the fucking ass. I meant to put screenshots up of it, but Hex has vanished.
I've got Coke out the fridge.
It has a lot going on in the menus and stuff. Like I was like, I spent a while just looking through menus and being very confused for a bit. But I think I've kind of got there. It's complex. it's got like this huge like 14 there's like 14 bits of this skill tree, and every single one of those has four skill trees in it, which is 10 of them are weapons, and you're kind of, I believe you're only expected to ever use two of those, but it's still quite a lot of playstyle depth to go through. I just use a regular sword and a switched glaive, which is like a glaive that turns into a scythe, and I really like it. It's a good weapon. It's got a lot of interesting mechanics. You've got your yokai powers, and you've got this meter that builds up that you could shift, do a yokai shift and turn into a monster person for a little bit, and that's super cool. So it's got a lot of weird systems going. I was just looking at the video on the thing, and there was a guy walked up and he seemed to have an RGB samurai helmet on. It seems to be something exclusive to the Steam version, because it says Valve exclusive. Strange and very unfitting with everything else in the game, but it's good. It's hard. It's quite hard, which I like. It's good. The second enemy I found in the game seemed to be a mini boss, and I spent an hour at the very beginning killing that, and I had a great time. I did keep getting pop ups like every third death that said, "You know, you can walk past this and come back," and I said no.
Sorry, I got distracted by the Steam sale. There are some awful games in the Steam sale. It's awful.
There always is.
Yeah, but they're on the front page, and like, what are you doing?
Ooh, I haven't looked in depth. There's Cyberpunk on the front page. Ark, Street Fighter. Street Fighter is good. You should get Street Fighter.
I'm not going to get Street Fighter.
Not you. Listeners, good game.
No.
Yeah, there's a lot of games I've never heard of on this.
I'm dropping press notification, OBS alert. I don't know what's happening here. Oh, I'm back! Yay!
Fresh.
I'm back. It's fine. It's done a little reconnect. I don't know how it's going to affect the stream online, but it's done a little reconnect.
It's fine. I'll remember was 39 minutes in. I'll have a look
39 before minutes I in.
Just pull that down. It's fun times. It's fun times. A bit complex, but that's fine. It's good. It takes a bit of getting into. It's not as straightforward as most old stuff I've played, but
I'm really glad I gave it to you.
Good. Yeah.
Because I really didn't want to play it.
I mean, you don't have to play. I mean, if you were required to play every game in your library, I don't think you'd be able to.
I wouldn't be able to, and also I'd probably rather just give away all my games, because I've got some absolute trash in there. Whoa.
You've too much. You have more. I bet if you added up all the total time it takes to complete those games, you'd have like 100 odd years or something.
It's pretty bad, I'm guessing. Also, I forgot to say, I played Star Wars Battlefront Classic set thing.
Oh, yes! I forgot about that. Hex has had this pre-ordered for ages.
That is a turkey on every level.
So these is... was it three games that were like remasters, but of the old Battlefront games?
I'm just trying to find the Steam page.
Is it two?
It's two games. Oh, there we go. Star Wars. No. Is it?
I've just sent it to you.
Battlefront. I'm not clicking that. You're just trolling me. There you go.
I'm not.
the Classic Collection is. I mean, the short version is it's just the turkey. As a remaster goes, they've given it the ability to slightly higher resolution without making the textures match, so it looks exactly the same as it used to, but with less jaggies, which is functionally no different. Everything about the game is exactly the same, apart from they claimed they was going to modernize the net play, and I expected a big button that's like, it's just play, and it would just go in. But it's just the old interface. They've just attached it to slightly more modern web technology. But it doesn't matter anyway, because they only put three servers live, so you couldn't get a game anyway, and end up just playing single player skirmishes. And it was It was underwhelming to the point I have regret.
It was €34. That's
I got it cheap. That I pre-ordered it, and I think got it for like £22. I love these games. I'm a big fan of these games. Like these games are games historically I've really enjoyed. The second one especially is a game that I've just adored over the years. I predate Steam. I had it on CD, and then I played it on. I played the Battlefront version on the PSP. I played that to death. I think I played it on the Xbox as well. I did play it on the Xbox as well. Like, I've played a shitload of this game, right? Like an absolute shitload. I can tell you now, this is the same game. They've not done anything. It's not a remaster.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what they think they've remastered.
But what have they done that they've made the file size 10 times what it used to be?
I can't fathom it. I don't know what they've done.
I am kind of baffled how they managed to make it 75 gig, yeah.
I don't know what they think they're doing. I'll tell you now, if they just have another pass on multiplayer to make it feel like a modern multiplayer, like leave the rest of the game alone, just fix the multiplayer, I'm back on board. But yeah, I tried fast queuing for a server, and I got into a server, and this is one of the official servers. Everyone was Darth Vader. The score was zero, and people just kept disappearing. It was broken. It was very broken. I did not have a good time. It did kind of make me think, mate, because Star Wars Battlefront, the new one, Battlefront 2, is on. Oh, it's only £4.19. I might buy that actually. Yeah, that's on GeForce Now, isn't it? Star Wars Battlefront 2. I might buy
new one.
Yeah, I might buy the new one. £4.19.
You already own it?
No, I own it. Never owned it. I've played it because I had EA Play for a while. I played it on that, but no, I don't actually own it. So I might buy the second one because like I enjoy.
Wait,
like,
that's only
£4.
Oh, it's 88% off. Yeah.
But it's cheaper than the remaster of the classic. So I might just do that. In fact, I will do that.
Is that on GFN?
I think so. Have a look for me. I can't really look right now because I'm, you know.
That's on GFN. I might grab it myself.
Yeah, we should grab that and play that. I'm just gonna.
Battlefront 2. Yeah, it's on GFN.
Cool. I'm gonna buy out my Steam Deck while we're doing show stuff. Apparently, I've got Gunhead loaded still as well, which is a bit of a surprise for me.
I wonder if the player base for this has gone back up after that terrible launch.
I'd be very surprised if it hasn't. Because like it's made me go, I'll just play the new one until they fix it. I'd rather play the old one, but the new one's really pretty. Like it's a really pretty game. Yeah, Battle 2 is fun. It definitely is fun. It's not a good game, but it's a fun game.
I mean, that's all you need, right?
Yeah, you don't need a game.
Alright, I'll just run through some bits and then we'll go to movies. So somebody was it on the Discord? It was either friend of the show Archie or friend of the show Joshua Crew. I can't remember which was asking for a way to use their phone to do HTTP requests, and whichever one didn't ask, the other one, I believe it was Joshua Crew, replied to Archie. This app called HTTP request shortcuts.
Oh.
I had, unrelated to what Archie was looking for it for, I had a look at it, and it's just really cool. It's just a little like you can just make shortcut, like you can make little things, and you can do like share to this shortcut, and you can push like anything, like a URL or text or whatever, so you can like do a HTTP request with it, and you can just set it up real simple for like doing little automated stuff on your phone. It's kind of cool, and I just wanted to point it out because
understand how do we what do. So
if you have like an API or something, and you could just do a request to that if you want to, like I don't know, do a microblog, push your text to a server. You could do, you could bring this up, you type it in and push it without an additional app, and you could just,
oh,
you
okay.
know, whatever. Yeah. So for when I was testing it, I have a Goatify server, so I just did that, and I just have it so I could share a link and it'll just go to the Goatify server and pop up in under the thing of, yeah, but it's just, it's an interesting thing if you have a use for it. It's kind of a hard one to talk about because it's very specific.
It's but very like much I think it's you'll just, know if you've got a use for it.
Yes, kind of. I just thought it was really cool. And I didn't know something like it. I've thought about something like it before, and I just didn't know it existed. So I was like, oh, that exists. So I've installed that, and I'll probably find some uses for it when I get time. Yeah, so it's kind of semi-related to... Glow is a Markdown... what's the word I'm looking for? Markdown reader?
Yeah, renderer?
It's a Markdown reader in the terminal.
Renderer,
yeah, that's the one I'm looking for. A Markdown renderer in the terminal. It's really cool, it's really nice. All of,
I've got it installed
Charms,
on Mac.
All of Charms, yeah, of course you do, it's written in Go. That's, oh my god, I forgot about those things. Of course, it's written in Go, very easy cross-compile for stuff. I completely forgot that those weird camera effects existed. But, yeah, so on the last episode, I was like, I was using Obsidian. I'm like, it just doesn't feel right for me. Like, it was always a temporary thing, and I'm still kind of looking for something. But I've kind of, at the moment, I've just, if you point Glow at a folder of Markdown files, it'll just act like a file manager, and you can just, like, hit right arrow and it'll render out your Markdown and you can look through it and it's got, like, you know, basic search stuff and things, and if you press E it'll open it up in Vim. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a very simple way of doing
it. I was impressed with how smooth it was when I saw it. It was very smooth.
It is. The one thing I don't really like is that it just if you point it at a folder of stuff, it just kind of auto expands all the folders, and there's no way of not doing that. But you know, you can't just hit /" and type in the name of the one you're actually looking for, and it just comes up anyway. So it's kind of a half measure. I'm still not 100% sure what I'm looking for in notes, but this will do for now.
Just use Ranger and a folder.
Yeah, that. I want something slightly more advanced than that, though. You know. I did look at using Ranger or NNN and just, like, having a keyboard shortcut to pop open whatever I'm hovered over in Glow. And I have tried to set that up, but it keeps spitting out garbage. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong with them. Both of them I've tried that on, and they both just don't render the file. They just spit out crap, and I'm not sure. I'm clearly doing something wrong, but it's weird that's happening in both of them. So maybe I'm just piping it in wrong. I don't know. Have to have more look at that.
It is a cool
program regardless, and all of their stuff is real cool actually. They make a lot of stuff. They make a full TUI framework, kind of like Ncurses, which I've been meaning to mess with because it's all written in Go, so it's just a Go module.
I've got a book on Ncurses.
Yeah, I like Clive's stuff. I use a lot of it. It's called Bubble Tea, and it's something akin to that. But it's like super pretty. They do crazy shit in the terminal. They've got like a physics, a weird physicsy thing where you can like drag stuff around in the terminal and it'll, like, bounce around. It's very strange. Yeah, but I'm not sure what point it has. But yeah, no, they're good little group of projects, this, and I will probably find use for the TUI thing if I ever get around to making one.
Leg it!
Okay, apparently, according to the readme, it's pronounced more like leg it.
Leg it, as in a Cardassian captain.
Yes. I mean, it also just looks like the word legit. I've had for the longest time a Gitty and then Forgio when that fork came about server that I just kinda don't. I've wrote a blog post on this, but and I've linked it down there. I've set this up earlier this week, and I'm like, they always felt like they were doing too much, even though it doesn't really matter. It's not like they were heavy, but it just felt like the wrong thing for what I was using them for. Because it's like, I'm the only one using them.
Mm.
They've got, like, you know, full-on user systems and wikis.
Logins and
logins, and I'm like, I'm not using any of this. And realistically, I'm using Fossil, and I'm just mirroring my repos to a Git, because that's what people expect, right? And I just wanted a way for people to look at a Git and have a way to do a Git clone, and that's it. That's all this provides. If you go to the GitHub, there is a link to the devs repo list on the right, and it's very bright. But if you go to git.feather.onl, I also spent a bit of time this week making a theme that just looks like my website and isn't blinding. So mine looks like that. And earlier today, actually, I've changed it. So the initial repo index page is like, it does things with CSS grids that I didn't really like. So I've just put, like, you know, I've gotten rid of the description and put the last updated underneath the repo name. And I just think it looks cleaner, but whatever, that's all subjective. So I did a bit of CSS nonsense, and that is, since it was the last updated one, it's at the top. It organizes the Legit Feather theme is there on my Legit, if you want it, or if you want to build
like,
off it.
This feather theme is legit, bro.
I have removed. Damn, for real.
Off the hook.
I've also edited the log. I've removed the email, not because my email is secret, but because it's just me, so it's just the same one the whole way down.
Yeah, so
and it looks a bit silly.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, it's just a really simple Git front end. You've got your README page and your tree for looking at your files and the commit log. That's like, what more do you need? And it has a clone, and you can get your clone URL at the bottom of the summary page, and you have a working Git clone. And it's like, yeah, no, that's cool. This is what I want, really. Like, I was looking at cgit before, and that's kind of similar, but also it's a CGI thing, and I can't be arsed with messing with that stuff. This is just a regular thing I can reverse proxies, you know, like everything else I run.
Okay.
Add a line to my caddy.
Film time.
Oh. Movies. Yes, read my blog post for more thoughts. Because I did a blog. It's the first one of the year.
I've got to do some more blog. I need to do some more. I've been bad at blog lately.
Yeah. So we've watched some classics over the last couple of weeks.
We have.
You'll notice that there's three Star Wars movies and one Lord of the Rings. Why is that, Hex?
Oh, because I was, after realizing that I enjoyed some fantasy books, I thought it was a good idea to revisit Lord of the Rings because my initial assessment was probably wrong. But upon rewatching it, I have realized through it's a hot fucking turd of a movie. Anybody who likes it is an idiot. I should probably just like destroy their DVD collection. Like, it's just awful. Like, it's fucking atrocious. It's a bad movie that doesn't stand up. There's missing plot points. The timeline makes no sense. Character motivation is unclear. and the scope of the enemy's decision-making is bizarre. The film is bad. I know you lot of you guys love it, but you're wrong. It's really bad. You should not watch it. It is a bad movie, and if you like it, you're an idiot. There you go. I've said my piece. I think I've done it. Did I nail it? Is that everything I wanted to say?
Yeah, yeah. No, that was beautiful. Yeah. For the record, I quite like Lord of the Rings.
You fucking idiot.
See, we actually had this on our list of shit to watch since before Christmas, yeah, and we knew that this was going to happen.
I was really hoping I was going to enjoy it. I was really like, I'm going to get a fair go. Let's go. I'm on board. Fuck you now. From about halfway in, I was like, do I watch the end of it or just shoot myself?
It was beautiful. Awful.
I mean, that was obviously mostly hyperbole, but suffice to say, I was attempting to articulate how much I didn't enjoy it.
If you did like it,
you're not actually an idiot, unless you ask me hyperbolically, in which case you're a fucking idiot.
Somebody clip out that part.
Yeah, you're a fucking idiot.
No, the whole rant part. I'm going to ignore the part that comes after that.
And then just post it on social media. And be like, this is the best review of Lord of the Rings ever made. I think that was fair. The thing is, though, the Lord of the Rings book, I've got a lot of respect for the Lord of the Rings books. I don't like them, but I respect them. I don't like the film, and I don't respect it, because it was the movie equivalent of wanking into a bucket.
No. Oh, what a beautiful analogy.
I don't have anything good to say about it. I literally have nothing good to say about it, Wing. Like, nothing. I have nothing good. Like, zero good things to say about it. I guess it ended, which is a positive. There you go. This is it. It's all I can think of.
I haven't actually watched it in quite a while, and I think it held up pretty well.
No, it didn't. It didn't. It was bollocks. Like, if you're not already familiar with the work as a wider whole, like, those men in black, the Black Wraith fellas, right? They was like, oh, we somehow know that Frodo is asleep in the pub, so we'll go and stab him. Stab, stab. I weren't there. We'll just give up. Fucking what? Just go and kill everybody. Kill the entire town. Why would you stop there, you stupid bastard? Set fire to the entire building. Like, there's I don't understand.
Whatever. There's no motivation for that. It's fine.
There is motivation. They want Mr. Frodo dead. So go and fucking kill him properly.
Yeah. But if you can't confirm that he's dead, what's the point?
But why wouldn't you confirm he's dead? Burn everything. Look for the magic ring out in the ashes.
That takes so long.
Doesn't matter. They're dead. It's not like they've got anything else to do.
But you don't know they're even there.
Oh my gosh. So somebody
just wasted a ton of time.
So they just like followed their lead to murder a pillow, and they thought that was five fucking stupid films. You know, I could rant all day about.
Do you think? You just as an aside there, as your point of stuff that exists that has, you know, lore outside of itself, like especially in movies. Do you think that's a bad thing?
I have two thoughts on this. Like, hyperbole out the window now. Genuine, my writer brain just kicked in. I think if you're making a film of something with wider data. Right. So, for instance, a good example of this is there's an upcoming thing for Mistborn, the Brandon Sanderson book. Right. Now, in order to enjoy that to its fullest, you have to know the wider context in which it takes place. Right. That's fine. As long as the film, the bit in the middle, the bit that's the focal point, stands up to scrutiny alone. Then all the other stuff is stuff you can enjoy as well. But if the product itself doesn't stand up alone, it's a bad product. Like, it has to stand alone. The only time that's not true is a sequel. If you're telling me I'm watching a second film in a series, then you can expect I've watched the first film. That's perfectly reasonable. And I would go as far as saying that applies to all media, including books. So if I'm reading the second in a series, it's fine that you expect me to read the first. If I'm reading the first in a series and it's a connected universe, it's the writer's job to tell me everything I need to know to get at least a complete story. I might not get a wider story, I might not get the full depth of the story, but I should be able to get a self-contained story without having to worry about the accoutrements. And in the case of the Lord of the Rings movie, it assumes knowledge of the universe that I didn't have. And because of that, it was nonsense.
Just what's the Wiccaddy comment, man? I think I'm missing a message in there. Yeah, no, I was thinking about this a while ago because I'm kind of I was kind of thinking similar to that, but at the same time, I think it I guess it comes down to what your target is, right? Like if you were making if you just have like a piece of media and you just want to do a movie, and just like you know, you're expecting the only people to watch it are the ones that have already consumed the other
Yeah,
media.
but I do think that's a
Don't.
bad decision to make because you want to you every movie in a series is someone's jumping on point. The famous quote there is Stan Lee said, "Every Spider-Man comic is someone's first comic," right? Like, so you have to explain enough not to annoy the existing audience while making sure the new audience isn't lost, right? And I think if you're
Yeah,
making
no,
a
I get
movie
that, but
assuming someone's read the book, don't. Like, it's just a bad decision. It's just disrespectful of it's disrespectful of the people watching it with people like I'm a big fan of Babylon 5, right? Massive Babylon 5 nerd, right? Brilliant. But if they rebooted Babylon 5 and carried on where it left off, that would be a bad decision. Because I would say to you, come watch this new Babylon 5, it's great. And then as a new viewer coming along with an existing viewer, you should be able to pick up enough through context to enjoy it if it's good. So if it's
yeah,
impenetrable
no, I
and you're
get it. I
expected to
was
go back
just.
and watch four seasons, or in the case of Lord of the Rings, you're expected to have a pre-existing working knowledge of the books, I don't think it's reasonable. I think it's a bad movie.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Yeah, I don't. I haven't really formed an opinion on that, but it was just something
It's
I
an
was
interesting
thinking
topic.
back.
It's one of those topics you can talk
Yeah.
about all day long. It's an interesting topic, and I'm sure there's arguments on both sides. I know where I come down. But that does I don't I would I wouldn't say I'm automatically right. I think there's definitely a conversation to be had there.
Yeah, no, I was because what made me start thinking of it was last month when I watched Has Been Hotel, and some people were saying that there wasn't enough background stuff in it that was in the comic already. I was like, I don't know. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
but if
just
they've
what made me
streamlined it,
start thinking about it.
if they've streamlined the story or retold the story a different way in a different media, that's fine. Perfectly acceptable. A good
Yeah,
example is Dune.
it's also not finished. There's more
Yeah.
seasons to come, so
But
there's plenty of time to do
Dune
stuff like
movie.
that. But
Dune's not
it's
great.
just what it's just what started me thinking about
Yeah. Always an interesting topic, I agree.
it.
But yeah.
Yeah, because I do kind of think there's nothing inherently wrong with that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to
I
think
think
about it more.
if you are gonna do that on purpose, you need to make it really fucking clear so no one's wasting their time trying to use this jumping on point. You
Yeah,
need to make it real
no, I
fucking
agree
clear.
with that.
Otherwise, it's just disrespectful. But I think if you want to do that and you're gonna make it clear, carry on. I think it's a bad idea, but it's not gonna make me mad.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how often it actually happens, 'cause, I guess generally speaking, a lot of people would make a movie or TV show based on a book in order to get people into it in the
Yeah.
first place,
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like
which is.
even if I'm a massive I really, really enjoy Mistborn, right? So when the Mistborn TV show comes out, I'm gonna want you guys to watch it with me. And if as we're watching it's totally impenetrable if you haven't read the book, it would be pointless making it because the people that are already enjoying the book would already enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be penetrable for
Oh
new
no, I
viewers
get it.
because every time, like, someone that's interested in a thing is always going to bring their girlfriend, their friend, their family, a man they convinced to watch it at the pub. They're always bringing other people with them, and those other people need to stand a chance of enjoying it. And Lord of the Rings is a good
Yeah,
example of
yeah.
something that just didn't do that. But it's wide enough appeal that it got away without doing it for the most part, but not for me, it didn't.
I don't know. I don't know. Because when I first watched Lord of the Rings, I didn't really have any other context for it, and I enjoyed it at the time. That was only my second time actually watching that movie, and I have since found out more about the lore and watched it again, and I don't know. Although I was much younger at the time, so I don't know if that probably affected it. Who knows? It's one of the few things I have watched before Hexed. Anyway, speaking of things I never watched.
You make it sound like I'm force you to watch things. I don't force him. I ask him if he wants to watch things.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware. I've just never watched as much movies in my life since I met you.
We only, for the context audience, we watch films on Friday nights. That's it. We watch one film on a Friday. So yeah
well, you know, it's been 3 years. That's all.
It does. Also, I'm still trying to get Wing to watch another Star Wars movie after this show. So who knows? We need to wrap up.
I've never seen Star Wars. I have somehow not seen Star Wars. However, due to the just ridiculous popularity of it via various memes that pop up in places and just references in other media, I think I already knew the vast majority of the original trilogy.
Yeah, we've now watched the original trilogy, episodes 4, 5, and 6.
The amount of times I went, oh, I know, I recognise that.
Yeah,
I pointed out, I was like, here's exactly what's going to happen, and it did.
Yeah, I for the record, I'm not a massive Star Wars fan. I used to be when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, I fucking loved Star Wars. But as I've experienced more stuff, as I've sort of, you know, read more sci-fi, experienced more stuff, I've gone more and more lukewarm on it. I'm just like,
Star Wars.
I don't think it's that good.
It seems more like an action movie than a sci-fi, really, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a space opera at best. Yeah,
that's what
it's
described as. So the first one, also for context, before we get into this, we watched these on Disney Plus, so they're the edited versions.
The new versions, yeah, the newest versions.
The newest versions.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one was, there's just not a lot happens in it.
Yeah.
There's like,
New Hope is a boring movie, then. Yeah. There's like a few moments.
Yeah.
There's bits where you're like, oh, it's really good. It's interesting. But for the most part, it's a fucking boring movie.
Like, there's not a lot happens. Even the final battle where they blow up the Death Star, which is stupid. The absolute dumbest fucking way you can end the fucking giant antagonist.
The Empire needs to invent valves that go one way because it's an exhaust port. So if they had a little flap of metal that when it exhausted lifted up.
I'm sure that's been discussed to death, but I don't care. It was stupid. And also that final battle went on for, it felt like it was half the movie. It was so long. And nothing happened. It just,
I assume everyone's seen Star Wars, but there is that moment where all the general people are in an undisclosed location looking at a clock, basically, that's like ticking, and it's like, and there's all this tense stuff, and he's like, mate, you're just looking at a time. You're just looking at the time. You don't need to stare at that. It's just the time. Just all go have a sandwich. Nothing's happening.
Yeah, even with the new effects and stuff like that, it's just, it has not aged very well. I mean, puppets are always cool, but, you know, it's just, there's a lot of odd things, especially the transitionary swipe things. It's, if I, the entire time I've been watching, like, the three,
like,
of these
Windows
movies, it felt
Movie
like, if, yeah, it felt like I was watching someone's Windows Movie Maker music video on fucking YouTube or something. It was so odd.
Of the original three trilogy, I still think, genuinely, The Empire Strikes Back is a good film that stands up. The ones each side of it are vastly flawed in many ways, but Empire Strikes Back is, it did exactly what it set out to do, and it was a good film. Like, I don't think there's a lot to criticise in it.
The second one was,
yeah,
was
one.
Far better than the first one. The third one wasn't bad.
The third one was more of an action movie than the first or second one. The Empire Strikes Back, it ends on a down note. It's gritty. It's like you don't like, it's one of the few films you'll ever watch where the bad guys win. Like, the good guys are losing in every direction at the end of the second one. Like, there's nothing good to say. yet somehow there's a level of optimism injected into it that still makes it like operatic almost. Yeah, like it's a good movie. It's a genuinely smart movie. And yeah, and the fact that the good guys don't win at the end is interesting.
I continue to be. I don't know. I never bothered looking it up, but there's the timeline between movies seems a bit odd. It's not very clear how long has gone.
I've always just assumed about 2 years passed in between every movie. That's always been my assumption. Which seems to fall in line, but who knows?
It's weird because the second one, Luke's only learning
for about
Jedi
an hour.
Stuff, and then the third one, he's like, oh, he's done now. He knows everything. He can do everything. What's his face did
that's
in the first
why,
one?
That's why I want to watch episode one tonight. Because in episode one, you go, oh my god, Luke was shit. Like, that's the message you take away from me. Like, Luke was shit. What was Luke doing? He was awful.
Oh, also, fucking people keep dying in this, and then they're just ghosts. I'm not sure dying has much of an issue for Jedis. It's just like they just hang about after.
That line where you were like, so you know Obi-Wan? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, why didn't you just carry on? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, why don't you just carry on fighting for the rebels? Because he's just a ghost and he's still got force powers. And I was like, I've never thought of that. Yeah, he could just be their dead ringer, couldn't he?
Yeah, I was just like, it doesn't. I mean, I'm not sure they've showed the ghosts doing force stuff, but I mean, I feel like they've as Tex told me, they gave themselves to the force. So like, can they? Like, I don't know. It just seems like a very weird plot point. The ghosts.
It's not very.
Because he just hangs about. When he's doing the training shit with Yoda, Obi-Wan's just hanging about
in the background,
as if he's not dead. He's just like,
also,
oh my god, we keep forgetting to watch that video.
The one that really gets about that is like Obi-Wan died on the Death Star, but his ghost can travel to Endor, which is the other side of the galaxy. Do ghosts have hyperdrive? Like, how does it get about? Like, the whole thing bothers me so much.
Very weird. Even the Flash's speed force made more sense than the Force in Star Wars.
Yeah. It is, in all fairness, in episode in the prequel trilogy, which people hate, I think it's more consistent apart from one scene in episode one. There's one scene that literally needs to be removed. Then I'm interested because I think Disney Plus may have removed the scene, so that's going to be interesting.
Oh,
but yeah.
I liked it. I like when we were watching the first movie and there's this scene in a bar and the two people shoot each other at the same time and Hex just yells, cowards!
Hard shot first! I'm not that much of a Star Wars nerd, but my writer brain is like, you gotta let Han shoot first to define his character so we know who he is. Like, him shooting first changes the entire aspect of who he is going forward. It's like, yeah, mad. Anyway, Star Wars Zai.
Yeah, overall,
right.
Overall, having watched them, I think they're okay.
Right. They're okay. For me, they're okay, but Empire is a good film. But even that, when I say good, I mean slightly better than okay. Like, they don't make me mad. I would watch them again. Like, they're entertaining. I do like the visuals of the dirty used universe they made. It looks
visually.
It's great.
Visually, it's cool visually. I like the whole aesthetics of the universe and stuff. Ooh,
yeah,
hello, Victor.
Yeah, Victor says, Victor in chat, I didn't want to interrupt, Victor in chat said, have you two read any Sanderson books? Yes, I have. And he says, I keep seeing clips of Sanderson talking about movie stuff. I'm starting to get paranoid, which part of the Cosmere would get adapted. Mistborn. Okay, I see what you mean. They're pretty long since. Yeah, I think Mistborn's the obvious place to start. It's Sanderson's own suggestion for where to start with the Cosmere. So, I think that's the right place to start, to be honest, with Mistborn 1. But yeah, anyway, let's not turn this into a Sanderson stream, because, yeah.
There's those books. Look, Hex has those books physically. They're giant.
I did it. I'm gonna get them. Like
peak of the ass.
What's
for
my ass?
Viewers.
There's so many pages. The first three Mistborn books are basically one book that's been split, And there's like, there's like, they even sell it as one box because it's ridiculous. So yeah, it wasn't my ass. Fuck you. It's my back.
That's Hex's future.
And then like you've got Storm, the first three Stormlight archive, which is like again sold as one book essentially. So yeah.
Ludicrous.
It is. But
although yeah. I imagine in the not too distant future Hex will have a similar series.
That, I mean, I'm literally planning on stopping with my Denimoir series after
three. Oh, I know you are.
I'm planning on stopping. Doesn't mean I'm going to.
You keep saying that, and then you keep tying it in and other stuff.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm never going to stop tying it in, but the mainline Denimoir stuff is going to be done after three, I think.
I cannot wait to see all the Denimoir stuff together in one book.
Yeah, because what I want to do, I want to take for those of you that don't know, I write novels, hexdsl.com is where you go to find information about that. Scroll down, you can read at least two of my works on the website for free if you want, so you can go there. That, in fact, I just realized I can do that myself. I've got a web browser. What my plan is if you scroll down, you can read my Chronicles of Ned story, which is adjacent to my Denimoir series, and then you can read one of the Denimoir short story collections on the website as well. I am going to be putting all of it online at some point, but it's a little bit of work to do it, so I haven't done it yet. And if you scroll down to my books, it tells you where you can read them and where you can buy them if you're interested. When I finish Denimoir 3, I want to have a collected volume that contains Denimoir 1, 2, and 3, right? And both short story collections that will be there by then. And then I also want to add a thing I'm working on, sort of on the back burner, where characters are getting interviewed by another character for chronicles of, for like historical chronicle stuff, where they just get interviewed about the adventure they've had, and then that's going to be peppered throughout some of the short stories. That's kind of what I'm working on. But I do want to get that collected volume. I'm going to print it in a big, fat, hardback book, and it's going to be expensive and beautiful.
Yes. That's my plan. Oh, hardback.
I'm going to do it. Because of the thickness of it, large format hardback book might be a bit of a smarter thing to do. But then I'm done at that point. I'm done.
Denimoir.
I think the third novel's gonna be big. Like, it's gonna be big. Like, the short one is 100,000 words, so it's gonna be like double that, I think. So it's gonna be quite big. Not Sanderson big. I don't write 400,000 word novels.
Yes.
And will do. Sooner or later, I will do. But yeah, I do feel like I've written my course through that. But I've been working on it for like 3 years, so, you know, it's done.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So before we finish up, I would mention one thing. When I was setting up my OBS, it had an update 2 weeks ago, but I only updated it like the other day. Mm-hmm. And I realized it wasn't working. So if you, like me, use the Flatpak version of Debian and were getting a weird error about NVIDIA NVENC, they seem to have updated the package on Flatpak, but not updated the driver it needed. They forgot to, like, it's literally, you need like 12.1 and it's using 12.0. So you can, yeah, if you look up how to use old versions of Flatpaks, which I've never done before, but it's actually quite easy. You just run Flatpak update and then --- the commit. Yeah, whatever. It's on the wiki. Yeah, but you could just get the previous commit of the Flatpak entry and just do it that way, to use the older version until they fix that. Because, yeah, I was like, no buttons work. It keeps giving me an error. That's because they were using the wrong driver. It was mismatched with the system one, basically.
That's so bizarre. It's such a bizarre thing for them to cock up. Like, that just means they've literally not tested it.
An odd one. I don't know. Maybe it's Debian related, but I don't know.
No, because like, surely
it's Flatpak. I don't know.
If you're going to test on Debian, right, well, that makes the most sense.
I assume everyone does automatic testing via Docker or some bollocks now. Who knows? Because it just, yeah, no, just no streaming or recording or anything was working. So, yeah, I had to just revert to the previous version. And it's literally just using the wrong NVIDIA driver or attempting to use the wrong one. So, I don't know.
Got some questions from Victor in chat. First of all, the cat fella is co-host Wing, who's available at feather.onl. That's feather, like that thing birds have, .onl.
I've been here forever.
He's been here forever. Also, you can go to discord.hexdsl.com.
I used to be pink.
You did used to be pink. You can go to discord.xdsl.com to get invited to Discord, and you'll find me and Wing living in there pretty permanently, so you'll be able to find us there if you want us. I'm on hexdsl.com, and Wing is on feather.onl. If you go to trendy.hexdsl.com, you can also click on Wing's page there to find out more about Wing. He's not a secret, he's just a cat. Not a secret.
Yeah.
Victor also says, I play D&D and I rewrote one of my player backstories and I was straight up told I should write something. How do you go about that? We've had conversations like this before, so I'll give you the ultra short version here. The ultra short version about getting started in writing is write. That's your short version. Software, selection, plotting, all the things that writers talk about is secondary to the writing. Just write. Just write first, worry later. Get out your brain and onto the screen into a file first. Personally, I think you should be using Word or Scrivener for writing. Those two tools will get you a novel. Well, those two tools were in either one of those two tools will get you a novel. I use Scrivener personally. I did use Word for the last two novels, but I'm back on Scrivener now, and I think Scrivener is very good on Mac OS, not so great on Windows. If you're on Windows, probably just use Word. That's what I did. And as for outlining and stuff, all of that really is more optional than people think. Just get yourself a decent notes application. Doesn't matter which one. And keep notes on characters and keep notes on plot points. And then when you have to, as you're writing, you might want to refer back to them. I have a character with a robotic limb in one of my books. And I can never remember it's the left or right hand, to the point where I've literally put it at the top of the character's file in my notes because I keep cocking it up. And then things like what colour a character's eyes are and stuff, which at first you think that's not relevant, but as you've written three novels, you'll go, what colour was their hair? Like, you know, like what was their accent? Was it northern? Was it southern? Like, you know, you forget things because there's so much to remember. So just keep good notes on characters, keep good notes on plots, and just write. Because no matter what you write, you can always edit later. There you go. That was the shortest version. That was the shortest I've ever done that, right?
And also, short. You know, I mean... Different people do different, but like Hex just spits words out and worries about it later. Some people do a lot of outlining beforehand.
Yeah, some people really like to have like a plot point. So what I've seen people outline to the point where like they start off by going, here's how many chapters I'm having, here's what's gonna happen in each chapter. Now we're going to break it down to scene. Here's what happened to scene. And they essentially fill their novel out scene by scene inside the outline. That becomes the novel. I can't think of anything more tedious. For me, I'd have a rough idea what's going to happen. I think it's the Scalzi approach, right? I have a rough idea of what I want to happen and where I want to end up. And I write and I let the characters guide the story. That sometimes means they guide it somewhere stupid and I have to backpedal and erase stuff. And that's fine because that's part of my process. I get the dumb ideas out so I can keep the good ones. And sometimes, like, I'll write a whole bunch of dumb ideas, and then like there'll be something in there that was worth keeping. And that'll sort of, that journey would have been worthwhile. Scrivener's got a good system where you can just snapshot a file and then just delete it and carry on writing, and you've always got the snapshot to refer back to, which is quite good. But yeah, for me, I'm very much a seat of pants kind of like guy. I know where I need to be. I know what I want. I know my characters well, and they all have. I try and give them all a distinct voice, so even if you didn't say who was speaking, you get from context who was speaking. And then once I've written the whole thing, I do a cold read where I just read through it without touching it, and the next pass, then I'll edit grammar stuff, and then I'll start ironing out plot points. Then I'll do one more read. So I'll read my own work about five times, and then once I've gone through it five times, I'll then pass it to Wing, who proofreads it for me and gives me feedback on it. I'll tweak based on that, and then I throw it out the door. And that's basically how I do it. But there's no wrong and right way. Just get your words out.
Yeah. If you check out Hex's website, you can see his list of notes for if you want
Oh, yeah, that's a
an
good
idea
point.
of a layout.
Yeah, so if you go to my website and you go to Denim
Under
Wild
the
Wiki,
writing
yeah,
section, yeah.
to Denim Wild Wiki,
There's
yeah, you can see all sorts of
get
all
like
sorts of.
character templates and stuff if you want.
Yeah. I think
Obviously, that varies highly depending on your story, but you know,
yeah.
ideas if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, and I think I don't know. I think people I do I tend to do it myself because I've got a YouTube channel where I talk about software and stuff. So I do tend to overthink about the software, but I'm basically down to the point where I'm saying to people, just use a word processor or Scrivener. And like just that's it. That's all you need. I would say probably don't use Google Docs if you plan to write a novel, because it will shit itself. Like eventually it will just shit itself. Oh, and always have a separate backup of your work. I don't care if you're using OneDrive and it backs it up. Also manually back it up to another cloud provider. Always back up your shit. There you go. Yeah.
And
Okay,
also,
so
don't use a pen. You'll just annoy yourself.
yeah. There's oh, Neil Gaiman writes with a pen. He literally has a lovely fountain pen and he writes his whole novel out by hand, right? And then when he's done, he types it up. And I'm like, you're just doing it twice, you twat. Like, why are you doing that? He's very successful, it works for him. But I'm like, why, what are you going? What are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing that?
Any type that came up the other day,
Any
I
type,
believe. That's what he
which one's any type? I've tried too many softwares. Any type.
it's one of those I
Oh,
think
that's the
someone
one that doesn't
makes this,
render
didn't it?
prop. That this is the one that doesn't render properly in it just I don't know if you can see my screen yet, Wing. It just doesn't render properly in Safari. It's just broken as shit in Safari. But I haven't
Oh,
actually
does
looked at
it?
it. Like, yeah, it's just broken. So I still haven't actually messed with it. What is it? Is it?
Oh, damn, that is very
Yeah,
broken.
totally
The stream
broken.
just
Yeah, like
got.
it's just knackered. So I can't actually use it. Like it just doesn't. I just.
It is that program that's trying to be everything. It's trying to be a wiki and a journal and a
Right.
recipe book and yeah.
Right. Broken as shit.
Very.
Yeah,
That is kind
I.
of funny that it's completely broken on Safari on a Mac, though. That's kind of, I
Yeah.
assume, one of your targets.
Yeah. I do not. Yeah, I for me personally, I would find anything that's not designed for writing novels, I find will do something that'll annoy me. So if it's not designed specifically for writing novels, if it's designed for blogs or journals, it's not a novel software. Word is designed for very, very long documents. And because of that, if you use headings properly, you can set up your chapters and you can navigate through a document quite rapidly. And Scrivener is masterful at that. That's what Scrivener excels at. So I find anything not specifically designed for noveling problematic. But that's not to say you will. But
Yep.
you'll evolve as well. Like, don't get hung up on software. Like I wrote multiple novels.
Change.
I wrote,
Hex has gone through all the
yeah.
software.
I'm
And
very settled
sometimes
on
not
Scrivener.
software, sometimes Notepad, basically.
Yeah, I've gone through no, I've done all sorts of stuff, but I've only ever written novels in Scrivener or Word properly. They're the only two things I've ever used for trying to write
You
a novel.
wrote Hunter's Garden in Vim.
Oh, I did write Hunter's Garden in Vim. That was terrible. That was an awful experience. From start to finish, that was a horrible experience. Don't do that. I know people do it and they like it, but I'm like, just honestly, I don't understand them. Like, it's not for that. But yeah, that was a short novel. That was like 78,000 words, and that was a short novel. And there was a lot of grammatical tools missing that made it a chore to edit. Whereas that's when I switched to a proper word processor and I looked back.
Slightly, I mean, Archie linked me to that thing before called Vail, which works with Vim, and it's like an LSP for grammar, and it's pretty good actually, but it's still probably not ideal because
Yeah,
yeah.
no, I use Vim. Yeah, I use Vim. I use Vim Victor. Vim's, yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I like Vim.
Yeah,
Vim's great, but not for novels.
there's several what you call it, scripts and stuff out there to put a novel together with like Pandoc and stuff.
Yeah,
But
yeah, you
Pandoc
can
now
also. There's the long form plugin for Obsidian, which is very good, which lets you write a novel in Obsidian. I found it unreliable when you get to very large word counts. It just sort of like the ordering was missing and stuff.
it's
Yeah.
weird how many things break when you get to like a
That's,
hundred
yeah,
thousand words.
it really is. 100,000 words is that point where you think it's loaded fine. And if you just like someone going, you load up 100,000 words, you go, yeah, that looks fine. And it will. But when you start manipulating the text and editing and changing, that's when it starts doing weird things. Initial glance of I've loaded 100,000 words, no problem. Absolutely fine. But yeah, it is that the workmanship that you have to put into the 100,000 words that starts crawling. And if you lose 10% of speed over the period of an hour of writing, that's unacceptable. Because I will sit and write for 6 to 8 hours some days, no problem. Like I wrote for about 5 hours straight today. Like I will do that.
Even
And when I do that, if I'm losing performance over time, that's a barrier I do not want to deal with.
it even happens in Word though. Like when Hex did his last one in Scrivener, and I was using Scrivener to edit, the speed difference is ridiculous.
Well, Scrivener, how Scrivener works, it cheats, it breaks the files up in a way
I
that
mean,
doesn't feel
yeah,
like they're broken
it
up.
doesn't
Where,
matter,
yeah.
but the fact is, it can do that, whereas Word isn't very good at this stuff
And
like
it's
that.
so
That
unusual on
makes sense.
Windows, so much better on Mac. So much faster on Mac. But yeah.
Yeah. But like
Anyway.
breaking it up and like combining it together is just a smart way of doing it.
Is.
Avoids all that.
And you just compile it when you're
But
done and
yeah.
you end up with an EPUB. Nice. So, but yeah, if you want to talk writing wankery, go to discord.hextsl.com for an invite to the Discord room. There's a book club in there, which is you're more than welcome to talk about writing in there if you're interested. But I've written a lot. Doesn't mean I'm any more qualified than anyone else though, so don't listen to me if what I'm saying doesn't work for you. So, yeah. Anyway, thank you for coming to a trendy talk. It's been most trendy. Wing, anything to add? Thank you for
Bye-bye.
watching. Goodbye, everyone. Don't forget trendy.hextdsl.com for trendy talk notes, hextdsl.com for me, feather.onl for Wing, and discord.hextdsl.com. And if you'd like to buy me a gift, you can do so on wishlist.hextdsl.com. Goodbye, everybody. Da-da-da-da.